Friends, some people just want to hear the gospel. They say, don't give me any law. Others appreciate some law. And many ask about application. They want to know how to apply God's life and God's word to their daily life. Now, I was taught that whenever possible, a sermon should contain portions of all three. Today's gospel lesson offers just such an opportunity. It is sort of a parable in that it relates people and grapevines to Jesus and heaven. Jesus often taught in the form of parables because people could identify with the earthly story and with his help relate the message to life in heaven. The parable of Jesus are stories that are true to life. Jesus knew human life in all its forms, all its ways, and all its means. He was familiar with the life of the farmer, the vine dresser, the fisherman, the builder, and the merchant. He also was acquainted with the professions of ministry of finance, the judge, the tax collector, and the manager of estates. He knew the Pharisees and the experts of the law. Jesus was at home in every social level of society. And he was able to minister to all people, regardless of their status, training, or occupation. By means of parables, Jesus brought the message of salvation to everyone, called his listeners to repent and to believe, challenged believers to put their faith to work, and urged his followers to exercise watchfulness. Jesus' parables were not always readily understood by his disciples. Jesus' parables are not always understood today. However, we live in wine country, and most of us understand how to grow the best crop of grapes. So today's message should not be that hard to apply to our own lives. We can summarize today's message by saying, either you are with me or you are not. There is law in Jesus' words, and there is also the good news of the gospel. Jesus says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Today's gospel is really an object lesson by Jesus. Jesus was talking to people who owned vineyards. They understood the care of the vines. Non-producing branches take the life juice from the plant, but produce no fruit. Such branches are cut off and discarded. Likewise, we prune the productive branches for an even better harvest. The lesson here is not to focus on the object, but as in all of Jesus' parables, to use our knowledge of everyday life and apply that knowledge to the heavenly message of God. We start with the law. God has a simple message here. Either bear fruit or I will deal with you. Those who turn their backs on God and willfully disobey his commands will, in the end, suffer the same fate as the non-productive branches. God the Father will ultimately deal with those who oppose him. And I suggest that each time we confess our sins to God, we are, in effect, undergoing a personal pruning. Pruning away the sins that cause us to be distracted and non-productive in proclaiming the glory of God. For we glorify God best when we are not distracted by worldly desires or sins. And we glorify God best through our actions of love, actions that confirm our words. Let me give you a practical example of following commands. I'm retired Navy, and members of the military are trained to follow commands without hesitation and without question. And you may ask why. It's because the life of an individual, and perhaps the life of the entire unit, may depend on following that command without hesitation or question. Likewise, following God's commands without hesitation or question is essential. Essential because our spiritual life, and indeed our future life in society and in eternity, may depend on it. Now let's focus on the gospel message. Jesus invites us to remain in him. And the good news is his promise to remain in us. Just as a branch receives nourishment and life from the vine, we receive spiritual nourishment, faith, and life from our Savior. The goal of God's people is to give to him glory in daily life by bearing the fruits of our faith. The problem is that we drift into detachment from the Lord. We tend to go along with things that we actually know are wrong. The remedy is in reclaiming our status as branches attached to the one true vine through his word and sacraments. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. He laid down his life for us, and he asked us simply to believe in him and to grow in our faith. Faith is not an action. Faith is a state of the heart, created by the Holy Spirit through the word of God. And Jesus makes us this promise, remain in me, and I will remain in you. And just as no branch of the vine can bear fruit by itself, neither can you bear spiritual fruit unless you remain in me. John quotes Jesus in verses 7 and 8. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's the gospel part of Jesus' object lesson. However, we must be aware of the entire message. Heed the warning and take comfort in the promise. Since God gave us the gift of free will, the decision to be detached or attached is ours. So how do we apply this object lesson to our daily lives? How do we bear spiritual fruit? Some of you are producing a great deal of spiritual fruit. Some could do better. And now, don't rush out. And don't start doing the right thing for the wrong reason. If you really want to take Jesus' lesson to heart, then first understand that without him, without faith in him, you can do nothing to the glory of Almighty God. It's the faith in your heart that motivates the action. Just as the saints before us were moved by the Spirit of the Lord, we too will be moved, not by the decision of the mind, but by the motivation of the heart. And we know that the only way to grow in the faith is through prayer, daily exposure to God's word, and fellowship with other believers. And with the courage of that faith, we fulfill the great commission of Jesus, and that is to make disciples by word and action. Mostly by action. St. Augustine once said, proclaim the gospel wherever you go. And if you have to, use words. I read a survey some time ago that revealed how churches gain new members. The survey revealed that 79% of all people who came into church membership did so because of the witness and the invitation of a member. Not by the pastor or the well-trained evangelism team, but by members of the congregation who were applying God's word to their life and living their faith. You see, when you are happy with your relationship with the Lord, that feeling is radiated to those around you, and they want to have what you have. In some cases, they don't even wait to be invited. They ask. They ask if they can join you in worship. In his first letter, John writes, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth." Friends, fine words will never take the place of fine deeds. Involving oneself in the sacrifice of others is the principle of the cross at work. The mission of our church is to make disciples. And from the results of the survey, you know who can do it best. And remember, you are not alone. Jesus' parting words, recorded at the end of Matthew's gospel, are, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus is with all believers, always. His word is your guiding light. Please rise and pray. Dear Jesus, my God, my Redeemer, my friend, we cling to your promise. You are the vine and we are the branches. You are ever present as our companion, observing our every thought, word, and action. Inspire us not to be afraid, but to search your word daily, that we may grow in our faith and that we may boldly witness to your glory. Almighty Father, you rule this world by your established authorities. Bless our nation's leaders and cause them to serve wisely. Grant earthly peace and order. Bring an end to injustice and violence. Grant healing and support to all who are in need. Today, Lord, we especially lift up to you members of our prayer list. We lift up the names of Nancy and Darren, Raleigh and Patsy, Carmen and Marilyn, Melanie, BJ, Linny, Liz, Irene, and Barbara. Bless them and all that we hold near and dear in our hearts. Amen.